All right, this is the Marysville Board of Education regular meeting of November 21st, 2013. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Mabee.
Here.
Mrs. Devine.
Here.
Mrs. Greer.
Here.
Mr. Lasseter.
Here.
Mrs. Powers.
Here.
Okay, can we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please? All right.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, and before we get started, I'd like to welcome a couple of our special guests tonight, Mr. Dick Smith, Mr. Ed Pleasant, our new board members. We certainly welcome them and congratulate them on their victory. You will soon be sitting on this side of the table, so pay attention. All right, so moving on. I need a motion to adopt the agenda. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Were there any changes, discussions, deletions? All right. Hearing none then, can I please have a roll call?
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Lasseter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes. Okay, the motion carries. Next up, I need a motion to approve the October Employee of the Month, Jacqueline Sancho, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Ms. Mankin.
Jacqueline, can I have you all come up here? Jacqueline, not here? I was going to say, I thought that was Jacqueline. Jackie comes to work every day with a positive attitude and willingness to do whatever it takes to help students succeed. She takes the time to review students' IEPs thoroughly so that she knows what each individual student needs. When it came time for Meet the Teacher Night, Jackie was there without pay. When we needed her to stay an extra half a day to help get things going before the school year started, she gladly did so. Maybe not. She is deeply invested in making Creekview a place where kids, teachers, and families want a great place and where they want to be. She is an invaluable member of our team, and we would be lost without her. We cannot think of a more deserving recipient in this important and meaningful award. Congratulations.
All right, can I get a roll call, please?
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lasseter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, we have the folks from Northwood presenting tonight.
Good evening.
Good
evening. Can you take one and pass
one? This is a test to see if we can get this done right.
See if I can do it right. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to
take
one. Oh, thank you. All right. Well,
I made it
to you. Cindy, there may not be one for you. I don't think I can.
Two of those.
Come on.
We're doing a lot this year, and I wanted to focus a couple things on basically some of the areas that we're really focusing on this year. And one of the things that we've been doing a lot on, just as you guys have, is with safety. And so I attached for you, our safety committee spent a lot of time. The first time I ever was in a lockdown drill was 1988. And at that time, we didn't really call them that. It was more like go and hide and get away. And, you know, as time's progressed, you know, we've gone to a lot of different ideas of what lockdown and safety should be. And, you know, Sandy Hook probably took us, you know, in a whole other direction. So one of the things in working with children all these years I felt was really important was to have talking points. I really think that it's important to make sure that children have a very secure place within to be able to discuss these, you know, things that come up, and also for children to have some concrete things as we start to move through these new practices. So I sat down and did a lot of thinking and pulled different research and kind of came up with talking points to the staff. And our safety committee met, and we decided that we would break down certain topics over time for the kids to learn, so that during our family meetings, that they would have every day a little piece. We emailed parents. We let parents know what was going on. But I thought it was just really important as our team and also within our school to set that culture of what it means, you know, and to stay away from what ifs. You know, you can talk to elementary children, primary, a lot different than you can 3 and 4. And so some of the teachers really, we spent a lot of time talking about what's the proper language to use. And, you know, it was too funny that a squirrel got into the school. It wasn't funny at the moment, but it was funny later. And so it was a great talking moment because there we had to lock down. So with the elementary children, especially those K-2s, you know, sometimes we lock down when a person gets sick. We had a student last year that had to be squatted. She had a seizure. So the kids remembered that. So we did a lot. And you'll notice we had the kids chart and we talked about specific areas. And then what we are going to follow up with is a survey to parents talking about safety. We've kind of been making up a survey. We're not done. We'll be happy to share the results with you. But basically, I feel safe at my school. You know, some basic questions.
Bless you.
Sorry. Basic questions to see how the kids feel about the drills. You know, because we want to keep, you know, a dipstick, how they're doing, and also for parents. And on behalf of the K-6 team, we had our parent night at Creekview, and we had about 20 parents attend, and Mike White had organized the Sheriff's Department to come and to speak to us, to speak to the group, and then they did some reenactment drills. But we want to keep making sure that we're doing things so the kids understand that we're safe, but at the same time, we always have to be prepared. And you'll also see on some of the other things we've done with safety operations. We're still working on making sure that that committee works. We're refining safety procedures. And just, you know, really trying to, how do we best support the kids and the parents to make sure that we do everything we can to ensure the children's safety. And that's what we're working on this year. In accountability, I've been forcing my staff to move forward a little bit and talk about how we try inclusion, because our special ed units are full. And I wanted to make sure that we're really, really getting in there and trying it. So I had a fourth grade teacher and special ed teacher. They're working, and we're starting with math because that was the area we were low on for our AMO. So we're starting inclusion. I'm giving them training. And they're taking all those kids in there during that math period and working. And then they'll go out to work on their individual goals. So that's something we've started. We're trying to see with assessments. You know, we talk a lot about what's a good assessment, and, you know, we're still moving in that direction of, you know, how do we really track kids' progress? You know, reading, we have a little more tools to do it, but in math and some of the other subject areas, we're not there yet. So we're trying some of the Envisions measurement tools to use, and I'll be sharing those with Diane. But right now, we're piloting a few things within the school and trying to see what's best to help kids. So those are some of the things that we're doing right now. And we're working on a math night because we want parents to come in and really work on the Envisions and get them in. And we thought we'd wait till after Christmas and get everybody in and try and bring in parents to get them on the computers and really do a lot of things to so they can see what the new series is and where their dollars go. And then finally with instruction, differentiation is a building, something we're doing within the building. We've been working with a special ed department, and how do we really differentiate? You know, we talk a lot about differentiation, but are we really doing it? Are we really showing how those kids make growth at both ends of the spectrum? So that's something we're doing in-house. And then we have amazing coaches. I can't tell you how exciting it's and nice it's been to have our math and our reading coaches, especially to have new math coaches on board. They have been amazing. Mary Davis is at Northwood, and she's just brought so much light, you know, and Mary's just such a go-getter. And we've really done a lot with rich problems. That's something we're focusing on as a building. And so Mary's been really great at doing that. And then a lot of the other things we're doing, for example, I challenge my staff to all have a website, their web page done, you know, before Christmas. They all have to have one. And so we're working on technology, and, you know, that's an ongoing process.
What are they going to use those for?
To communicate with parents and to put information up.
That's all on our, with the same template as our main website.
Correct, correct. Right. But we've had, in the past, we had teachers buying packages and then clicking on.
Right.
And now we're trying to make it so everybody has their own page with homework and, you know, keeping it updated on a regular basis to make sure we're providing as much communication as possible. So, yeah, it's been fun. Poor Chris just loves hearing from me every time I have computer issues. But, it's exciting. And I told Sue we're trying to carry on our leadership rallies. We value that as something we're trying to continue on, even though, you know, our staffing has changed dramatically. So I've invited Sue, and if you ever want to come, we're doing our leadership rally Monday at 2:45. And so the kids are doing the performance, and part of that will be part of our presentation. It's in there for you.
So are you set to go for your thing tomorrow, your lockdown drill? Is that tomorrow?
Already had mine.
When did you have yours?
I had mine the day of the parent training night.
Uh-huh.
I had it that morning because then I emailed parents that we had it, some of the highlights of what we did, and then to remind them to come to the parent evening meeting.
Did you get any, how much feedback did you get from our parents on that?
One. Yeah. Most parents, a couple parents that I, like when I go outside and, you know, all the parents are doing pickup, most parents were okay. I mean, you know, they said, we trust you, you know, if our kids come home. And the one that called is a first grade parent, and basically the parent said, my daughter came home and said, we don't want burglars in our house, and we need to make a plan. And I said, you know, that's great. So mostly, you know, those kinds of questions. But really, you know, we didn't have a lot of, I expected a lot of more questions. But I just wanted them to know what we were doing. And, you know, if a parent, I told the teachers, I gave them some talking points I found on a website. I just gave you a hit or miss of some of the stuff that we had done, tips for parents. And then we're doing some follow-up in the newsletter and just making sure that, you know, parents really know what we're doing and different things. And like I said, I just gave you a little smattering of everything, but I just want you to kind of have an idea what we're doing at Northwood.
Because, I mean, I remember you saying how you have spent a lot of time communicating out there.
Yes.
So sometimes if you don't get the response, you don't get the questions, you know, if you're optimistic, then that means you've done a good job communicating. If you're pessimistic, then people don't care.
Well, and
you know,
we've
but
tried
I think,
to be really open.
Yeah.
You know, and the parents
right.
know that I'm always there. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll be banging on the glass on Sundays. You know, I'll be parked out front. And, you know, they'll come and ask questions, or they'll just, you know, I guess, and Tracy can attest to this, we try to make sure that parents have a lot of access, you know, to the staff and to me, and so we really want, I think we create a family environment that people feel pretty comfortable with what we do, and so I think that's helped. And like I said, most parents are, Missy, we, you know, we're okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I can attest to that.
So, Missy, when we talk about AMOs and the couple weeks you have a data meeting with you,
yes,
can you
I
talk
do.
About what you're doing to prepare for that data meeting and what you're going to be sharing? What
yes.
Might be
for our fourth graders, Diane has requested that we bring in math was my area that we struggled in with special needs students. So, basically, since we've started the inclusion, we're going to bring in a couple pieces of data. I'm bringing in math facts just because I want to show over time how the kids, those kids, have now started doing some of the same things. We're also using some pre and post material from Envisions just to see if it's, you know, relative, and doing some of the benchmark assessments that they use. Everyone kind of decided that was, as a team, that was really to let's use what we have and see if it's getting us our bang for our buck. And so I think that's the teachers felt pretty good. Mary Davis has been helping, and one of our third grade teachers is also jumped on board with this. And so as a team, we really looked at those assessments. And then we have to question after we do some of them and we meet with you, are they valid? Are they getting us the answers that we really need? And are they being able to show the kids growth? So we're starting there. That's our starting point.
Missy, do you have this leadership rally this Monday, or is it every Monday?
We had to cut them down. We used to have them once a month, and now they're every other month, but it'll be this coming Monday.
Okay.
And the kids really take care of the performance. Grade level volunteers, and the kids come up with ways to instill the leadership and continue on our belief in all kids being able to be leaders and involved in our school to make our school a better place.
Yeah, that's part of Covey, right?
That's part of Covey.
Right.
We kind of have our own little twist on it since we didn't, you know, go forward with Lighthouse. You know, we've kind of done our, Northwood kind of did its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it should be exciting. I can't wait to see what the kids have come up with. They always come up with very interesting things. Very interesting. So.
Interesting is
does
good.
Does that give
right?
you guys an overview of kind of where we're heading mm-hmm. and some of the things we're doing? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right. How's family drifted out? All right, next up, we have very exciting for us as a district. We're getting ready to appoint. I'm going to put a motion on the table to appoint our new treasurer, Todd Johnson. I'm just going to talk just real quick. Todd comes to us from Olentangy. He's the assistant treasurer up there. I think you've been up there five years.
Yep.
He was at Dalton Schools before that and worked for the state before that. He went through a fairly rigorous interview process. He certainly sat in front of the spotlight with this group for a couple of times. So that certainly qualifies you for any job as far as I'm concerned. But we are very excited to have him as our treasurer coming up. I think he's going to add a great thing to our governance team. And so I will put to this board to make a motion to approve the contract for our new treasurer, Todd Johnson. Moved and second. Were there any further discussion or comments that you'd like to make?
I mean, I would just like to say that, I mean, going kind of talk in a little more detail about how rigorous it was. I mean, we had quite a few people apply for that position and some really good treasurers, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to board members who happened to have some of those treasurers that are looking here and they didn't want to lose them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they said really solid candidates, but Todd stood up above the rest, I think, from day one in my mind. And I feel like we're getting a great treasurer who's going to bring some good experience from Olentangy. I mean, they've been very successful over there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep, there shouldn't be any big math problems you can't solve here.
That's right.
So, okay.
He's very excited.
Yes.
Very excited to welcome him on board.
Absolutely. All right. If there's no further discussion then, can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Devine.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Mr. Johnson, I will ask you to come up here and sign your contract. You need to sign it as well.
I do?
You do. Your sign is for you as well. So,
a moment.
Hey, Jeff.
You want to sign?
Jeff. Does he have some family
yes.
here that he would like to introduce?
Yeah. Let's sign it all
like
that.
Okay.
Right,
yeah. Sign the paper first.
I let another minute get out of that
fire. No distractions.
That's your copy, sir. Congratulations. You'd like to introduce your family?
Yes. Well, first I'd like to thank the board for putting their confidence in me. Just through the whole process, got a good comfort level. Diane as well. So really looking forward to getting started. My family, my wife Lisa is here, holding my daughter Marley, and my sons Dane in the purple.
That's you.
and my other son Price.
All right.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Congratulations.
We got to something. Just so that when you show up here, you're wearing the right color. So open that up and hold that up for us so we can.
Just on that.
Oh,
yeah,
nice. Somebody told you I didn't like to wear suits. So that was not all right, congratulations. Welcome aboard.
Okay, next up, which is also as equally important, we need to approve up to 10 transition days for Mr. Johnson to get acclimated into the district. So if I could have a motion to approve that, please.
So moved. Second.
Okay.
Moved and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, then, can I please have a roll call?
Ms. Bowers.
Yes.
Ms. Devine.
Yes.
Ms. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Reedy?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, we have our superintendent's report. Madam Superintendent.
We have several things. We are going to start with the TIF. We have a couple visitors with us tonight. As you know, I sent to you a couple weeks ago, I guess, a lot of information about a TIF request with Honda. It does look like at this point that Honda has given the thumbs up to that. Eric could not be here this evening from Chamber, so Steve and Jason are here. Just as another resource, if you have any additional questions that I haven't answered over the past couple weeks, I know Cindy has given you the amount of collection currently on that property.
93.
And then you have a chart that kind of lays out for you what the collection would be in the construction year and then years following. So it's a significant increase, even with the TIF, in collection over the next. It's a 30-year TIF that will take your approval next month. I would suspect that would be on Eric's having papers done with the attorney, I think.
That's correct.
Does that go through the commissioners first? Is that?
That goes to you all first.
Okay.
You would take action at your meeting on the 19th.
Okay.
And then commissioners have scheduled a public hearing for the 23rd
of December. Oh, wow. Guess no one's going out of town for Christmas, are they?
Not till after
that. Not till after the
23rd. Are there other questions you would have for? I told them I would put them first so they can sneak out if.
I don't know if this is just for them, but I just more of a clarification. So of that nine grand that we collect today, majority of that's probably out general fund dollars, right?
Right.
And so then the TIF would come in. Typically we would probably put that into the
TIF would TIF. We would still collect that as taxes. Right. It doesn't.
We would just put the general. We could put it anywhere, but we would probably put it in the general fund.
Yeah, or we could separate it and put it out like we do on the other TIFs for the bonds.
Okay. I'm just kind of curious about the timeline. You know, I guess, I don't know, maybe just a little bit of history, and maybe for other people who are here who don't know what it is. I mean, just maybe just a real general how this got started and what the future looks like.
Do you want me to kind of hit that a little bit, or you can tag team it, I guess, if you want?
Jump in and I'll fill a hole.
Sure. There'll be lots of holes. So, Eric, certainly Honda is developing new areas. There are four areas on the map, and we have maps up here if people would like to see them. Yeah, they're not great maps, but there's two areas that will be developed. And there are already plans for those. The other two areas may be potential natural gas. It was my understanding station or refueling area. So really the thought was to ask for a 30-year TIF to encompass that future expansion as well. including different roadways in Union County that would help the county be able to afford to keep them up to date with the increased traffic, I guess, flow. Mm-hmm. And I think it probably started a couple months ago.
I think discussions probably started back in the summer.
Yeah. And so the process kind of brought everyone together, the different entities, talked about different packages, talked about the package that would be most beneficial to all entities, and we landed with the 30-year. And certainly, I know in Eric's talking with Honda, that was something that they were interested in doing as well. So it has to be done by the first of the year, is my understanding. And so,
is that to meet the tax deadline? Or is that to meet their construction?
You know? I'd say it's to meet the tax maybe both.
Because if we move forward, have they already planned on building or
construction's already underway?
Okay, I have an old map, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's what
it is. Someone didn't fly over and take a picture. Okay. Now, also the upgrades to those roadways around in there, I mean, I assume at some point that'll help generate other business opportunities.
Sure. In this kind of situation where you have, and of course, Honda's been there producing vehicles for over 30 years, and they're continually expanding, and this facility that's under construction now is a facility. They're going to invest about $30 million in that, and it's going to include a training facility for employees. It'll include a heritage center where they'll have be able to display vehicles that they've produced there, so it'll be kind of a museum. And then it also, they're consolidating some of the leadership in Honda at that location. And maybe just to expand a little bit on what Diane mentioned, in tax increment financing, what that allows to do, it gives counties, townships, or municipalities the authority to create TIF districts. And then any development that happens within those TIF districts, a portion of the taxes that would be generated based on that development is diverted into to pay for infrastructure improvements, and those infrastructure improvements would then stimulate potentially additional investment, or could meet the needs of an existing developed area. Over the years, we've seen many road widenings, we've seen intersection improvements, we've seen additions of turn lanes, those kind of things, and there's always, it seems like always something that needs to happen associated with Honda's growth in the Honda area. So what this is really to do is to create a fund that we can make those kinds of improvements as part of the TIF district. We've also identified roads that potentially where money may be in TIF money may be invested along those roads. Mm-hmm. I know in talking with Jeff Stouts, the county engineer, he intends to put together a kind of long-range capital improvement plan for the next 10 years to identify very specific projects that would happen in those areas that would support Honda's growth and again, potentially additional private investment.
I got a question. I was just looking at this map. That is 30. That's US 33 right there.
Yes.
Were there plans for us to improve that?
Pardon?
You've marked it in red, so is that an area
no.
of potential? Oh, I didn't. Okay. I was,
did you see another county map that showed roads highlighted on it?
I thought that was.
This one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
There's another one there.
Oh, I got it. All right.
Yeah. So the green areas?
Okay. All right. Sorry. I apologize. I looked at that and went, I don't think ODOT would appreciate that.
I'm sure they would.
They're not particularly generous
with their money. So
when I looked at the TIF revenue that would go towards this infrastructure, I mean, I have absolutely no experience in the cost of doing things like that. So, I mean, I guess just off the top of my head, is that going to be sufficient money to do a lot of this stuff, or is it going
to
be?
It'll allow us to do some things. Probably won't be able to do everything that's needed. Mm-hmm. If you think back a number of years, we had occasion to widen the Honda Parkway past mm-hmm. the Honda plant from to 5 lanes. Mm-hmm. That was about a $3 million project.
Okay.
So that gives you some idea of,
right.
Knowing how many dollars that you're going to be generating in mm-hmm. a matter of over 30 years. Mm-hmm. I forget just what the number is that would go into the TIF over those 30 years.
For us?
For the TIF. For, yeah, for, ten,
you,
for,
thir-
six million.
For 30 years, yeah, $6,350,000, okay. Something like that.
So,
right.
Jeff, I'm sure we'll try to utilize those dollars, couple those with federal or state grants to be mm-hmm. able to bring more dollars into the area.
Right. Okay.
Clearly, we can't. There's not enough money there to do all the improvements that might be needed.
Right.
Other questions?
So then at the end, at the end, it just turns into like a regular
tax
situation. Yes. So. Kind of an incentive to stay here for 30 years right now.
Since this is over, it's a 50% 30-year TIF. Since it's over 10 years, then it requires school board approval. Mm-hmm. Other questions?
And this TIF, it's a share of all entities that are taxing in there, unlike the TIFs that are in the city,
mm-hmm.
which are only the city and the schools.
Yeah. Right.
So
right. Yeah, I think that's nice. That's
why it's
nice.
Divided out on that spreadsheet.
Yeah,
right.
So that's why it's a little
right.
It's totally different than what the current ones
are. I do have a question, I'll be honest. So as part of a TIF, you're obviously going to sell bonds to pay for that, correct? To pay for that infrastructure and pay off your bonds with that TIF generation?
Potentially.
Given a conversation we're going to have here probably in about 10 minutes with property values going down, if you put out those bonds and the property values goes down and your collection on those bonds go down, who makes up the difference in your loan?
I don't know that, but I know the answer to that question, but I think from my own standpoint, I think we want to be conservative in those kinds of estimates.
Right.
Just from the standpoint of making sure that you're bringing enough in, but mm-hmm. also those bondholders, so they have some assurance that there's going to be enough money.
Well, they'll always get paid. It's just
it's just
a matter of who pays for it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I only ask that because, like I said, I think what we're going to talk about is having to mm-hmm. Change our bond value, so
sure.
or our bond value. So. All right.
Other questions?
Yeah.
Do you have anything that you
want to
add?
No, I appreciate your consideration of this project. It's a great thing for Honda and for Union County and for the district as well. If at any time you guys have any other questions, please just let us know.
I got one question. Does that new training center represent any new jobs for Union County?
I believe it is around 25 jobs around there.
Okay.
Actually, I think it's probably more than that because they're moving folks in from other areas.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a number of 75 to 100 that are
okay, that's, all right. That's
moving into the area. But then I'm sure there's going to be some additional jobs focused on the training center.
Okay, so obviously that's going to generate jobs for the county as well, right?
Yep.
Good.
All right,
thank
fantastic.
You.
Thank you very much.
Okay, you're very welcome.
Thank you. Okay, down my list. First of all, definitely want to celebrate the levy one more time. It actually seems like quite a while ago.
I know.
I'm
sort of
excited for that passage. to kind of put our plan into place and create a more stable financial picture for our horizon and kind of looking forward. So I'm very excited about that and thank the community for coming together. It was a nice margin, a win for us again, and certainly appreciate the support of our community. I want to congratulate girls' soccer team. They ended up district champions this year. So
first time, right?
Great season, I believe so,
yes. First time.
Boys' football team made it to the playoffs, which is the first time in a couple years. So, and also FFA. Originally, we were scheduled to celebrate Mr. Keg and his accomplishments with FFA, but we're going to postpone those to December. I told him he can't escape. He has to come and be honored. But we also, our chapter received a 3-star recognition as well, so at that conference. So great things happening in that program, which is kind of their status quo. They have the bar high, and they continue to meet that. Our band also received superior ratings in the state finals just last weekend. And we are anxiously preparing for our Japanese sister city is coming in just a few weeks, December 2nd through the 4th. We had a few minor adjustments in scheduling, but we will be hosting all the delegates at one of the elementary schools will be named tomorrow. Elementary schools are in a competition to be picked as the visitor school. Their requirements were to research Yori and compare and contrast Marysville to Yori. And then also, what are 5 unique things about Union County and Marysville, and what makes their school special. And they had to put that together in a video format. And so they're all going to be fantastic, I'm sure. But only one will be able to be the visitation site. So that will happen tomorrow.
Who's deciding that?
Yeah, I'm about to say, who's the
judge?
Well,
hashtag,
I think Eric and I, if you guys would like to participate.
No.
No.
I'm pretty excited about that. Also, the evening, Tuesday evening, we will be hosting a dinner as well. Tolls is going to, their culinary arts program is coming over. We're going to have prime rib, roast potatoes, green beans, and apple pie. They want an American dinner, so what's more American
sushi
than apple pie?
No sushi as well.
And what time do we
need
to be there?
Yeah.
And then we will be headed into the auditorium for performances by different performing art groups from the community. So some dance studios will be performing, as well as our students, show choir, the a cappella group from the middle school. Then we'll be leaving there and going to the girls' basketball game, where we'll do an honorary tip-off with one of the delegates and announce them as well. So it'll be a night of celebration, kind of showing off the great things we have here to offer at Marysville. So we're excited about that.
That's going to be very cool. It's my understanding from Eric that the delegate who's doing the tip-off, he said she played college basketball.
She did.
He said all 5'1". Whatever. So.
Well, we tried to get a foul shot competition between Mayor Gore and, but I think that didn't work out. So I think we're going to stick to the tip-off. Want to do a special thanks to the Elks once again. They have donated dictionaries to every third grader in our district. So those donations are taking place now. So certainly Kermit Morris and his group do that for us every year, and the kids love it. You've had the opportunity to watch. They just think it's the best thing ever. So I appreciate that donation. Straight A Fund, we definitely made it through the first round. I think you received my update on that. So the first round was our financial impact. In essence, were we able to show that we could sustain the seed money, if you want to think of it that way, over time. Second round will be decided December 17th, and that's really on the content, so how you're being innovative, restructuring, redesigning schools. So we'll be anxiously awaiting that. We are preparing. We've been meeting with architects and having some conversations. It will be a pretty quick turnaround, so be ready as things start to get aligned.
So if we get those funds, we have to start immediately.
We have to start the 16th, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, But yes, there'll probably be something.
Yeah.
I did mean this.
Yeah. I got it.
Of November, really. But we will there will be some things probably next time that we even have to talk about. But we want to make sure that it gets approved, and then we'll move forward with that as well. But we will be, the plan is to take Kathy McKinnis, as you know, make her the principal of the early college school. So Michelle Koffenbarger will be stepping into the role as principal, and then we're going to post for an interim assistant principal currently, so we can have everything in line for that transition to happen when we get back from break. So you'll be seeing that come out shortly. The last thing I wanted to talk about, I know I've had a big list.
No, it's exciting. We're just saying it's very exciting.
So exciting, yeah.
All day, every day kindergarten. At our work session, we talked at length about that. We wanted to get through the levy and revisit that. So I wanted to let you know that we have talked to DeYoung and Associates about doing enrollment projections for us. So we are starting down that path and looking for feedback from them. We're waiting on one additional proposal for them to decide which way we want to go with that. So that is in the works as we speak. So
how soon do you expect that back?
Well, they can do one round, which won't be as in-depth as we want, in 3 to 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. We'd like to see the other proposal to see the depth, the difference in the depth of the two proposals, mm-hmm. and which one is the best fit for what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. One takes a little bit deeper dive into future developments, individual households, so we want to kind of look at that and see the difference and see which one makes it better, you know, fits better to what we're trying to do.
And what's that data going to drive?
That data is going to drive several things. It's going to drive looking at, you know, where those kids are going to filter into school. Are we going to have to redistrict, you know, if we put all day, every day into place? What is going to be the impact on each of those buildings? We know the district has not redistricted since
2008?
Northwood.
Right.
And that was...
That's right.
That was kind of a small piece, from my understanding. Obviously, I wasn't here at the time. So we will be looking to, you know, use all that information to drive all that decision-making. So depending on... They're going to look at our census data and all of those pieces, our enrollment, and how it changes into first grade when students transition from private choices a lot of times. So they'll be putting all that, they'll look at our past 10 years of data and looking at future and combining that into a survival ratio formula for us, which will give us projections. Okay. So
survival ratio. That's kind of harsh.
All right. I think that's it for me.
Okay. All right, thank you. Great. All right, next up is the treasurer's report.
Okay. A couple items before we start talking about bonds or anything. I received information this week that we will be receiving an additional $49,000, almost $50,000 more from our Medicare reimbursement. These are for settlements that were from the 2009 through 2011 school year. So we had these audits 2 years ago, still have not been paid. These are Medicare reimbursements from the nurses, the psychs, the social workers at that time, and speech and the CODAs people when they met with students that have disabilities and all, and so they turn in their paperwork so that it'll be close to $50,000 that we'll be receiving back. So that, I've been waiting on that for the last 2 years.
That come with interest?
I don't think so. I'd love to see that, but no, I don't think so.
Never heard that.
We were able to refinance the bonds, came in at a really great rate, less right around 3%, a little bit more than 3. So that's great compared to what our 4 and 5%, 4.5% and 5% were sitting out there. Mm-hmm. So we had a good savings in the refinancing of the bonds. And then the one item, I'll talk about that on I do have some changes because of the bonds for the amended certificates and all. But the big item that I think we need to discuss tonight is the bond retirement and the forecast that because of the refinancing, we are much better than what we thought a month ago, or 2 months ago. But we still need to look at what's it going to mean for future years and all. Even though we're better off, it doesn't look like we're going to have to transfer any money from the permanent improvement funds this year, which is great. But next year, the one item I want to say about that is it's great, except for one thing. We're still cash flowing that November, December 1st payment. So our cash flow isn't on cycle yet. Mm-hmm. We're still cash flowing because our biggest payments come in November. We get two-thirds of our hold harmless payment in now in November for our payments in December, but it's still not enough. Mm-hmm. So our cash flow is still out of whack because of being so far behind. So that's one area. If you look at the years, the next 4 years, we're still over 1.5 or close to 1.5 mils that we're going to have to take from the PI, some years over 2 mils. So it just depends on how you want to, if you want to get us caught, slowly catch that up. Andrea has the choice if, as county auditor, she can automatically up that. She's been given the new pay schedule of our bonds. She could automatically just up it. She doesn't like to do that. I mean, no county auditor does, but she knows that she has to collect the right amount of money to pay the bonds. Half a mil of collection would be $327,000 for the calendar year. You'd get half in this fiscal year, half in next fiscal year. The following year, we'd do another half if you wanted to do it that way. You could do a 1 mil this time. Our plan was, a year ago, when we started looking at this, 2015, do another 1 mil. Mm-hmm. So, so this would only be a half a mil early if you do half a mil and then half a mil. See where our values are at that time, though. Remember, we didn't think that our values would be as low as they are. Right. Yeah. So we had increases in those values. This, we didn't have the $24 million decrease.
Right.
So those are all things that we have to think about, where they're at right now, where we're at, where we need to be, and knowing, that the permanent improvement funds are dwindling because of having to pay the bonds out of them.
Well, I would like to ask you, maybe Mike... Sorry, Mike. If someone would mind addressing, I know we've put off some of our routine maintenance items. I mean, we continually seem to put those off. Where are we at with that kind of thing? I mean, are we really going to start getting into an issue with if we don't start doing some serious maintenance on our facilities? I mean, are we getting into a critical point where it's going to cost us a great deal more money if we don't start doing things now?
Yes. This PI problem.
Right. I mean, I know we can't catch up all at once, but I guess my concern is that we're kind of sliding down a slope a little bit, if you will, and it's.
Well, last year we had the issue at the middle school with the transformer, and question was, what's your cycle for replacing those? And Mike said, well, when they break, and in essence, it should be about a 25-year cycle. That one was 40 years old. And we're just not in the position, because of the limitations that have happened over time,
sure.
to right. That would be one example of and then what happens is it costs you more money in the long run because you let it go, and then there's something else that needs fixed, and similar to home,
Yeah, and other areas, same way that we were looking at maintenance, the amount of asphalt that we have in this district, we haven't done anything. I mean, we just patched worked last year. There's a lot more out there that needs to be worked on. Our buses, we're only buying two a year. When you're running 31 routes a day. You really need to be probably going four buses per year. So, that's a big hit. Those buses are over $80,000 a piece. They're not cheap either, but the repairs on them, and
we'll have 14 buses at the end of this year over 150,000 miles.
Yeah.
Everyone hear that? You want to say that again?
At the end of this school year, we'll have 14 buses over 150,000 miles.
What's the average lifetime of a bus? What's
10
it?
10 years.
I meant mile-wise.
Yeah. And we try to swing the buses around on different routes to balance out the mileage.
Right.
Wear and tear. So, in 10 years, it'd be closer to 120.
All right.
So those are some of the things, you know, that we just need to think about, whether we increase it just a half or a mil or don't, even though we don't need it this fiscal year, but you're going to need it next fiscal year.
So those things you're talking about, just, I mean, those are in that PI forecast. How much of that is already in the PI forecast that you put out?
Only buses, two buses are in there.
Yeah, there's like 200.
We have not put anything more than what we talked about back in the
And we did not put anything in as far as cycling maintenance pieces, like saying, you know, a change to a roof every 20 years.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely not a detailed forecast. No. It's
right.
Just kind
and
of
that's
a,
where we need to get the long range. But right now it's kind of been doing what has to be done based on some things that surface as priorities that we didn't, you know, we couldn't have predicted the transformer last year. But the buses, you can definitely see on the horizon pretty quickly.
Gotcha.
I would certainly make it a lot easier conversation if we had, you know, the details of what we think we should have in the PI forecast, so we see where we really are. I mean, obviously, the hard part is, you know, you said it looks like we have to pull from PI not this year but next year. 1.5 mils, but yet, if you go back to when this, you know, we originally made this agreement with the community to pass those bonds, we agreed to pay 3.7 mils of of the total. I mean, so of what was passed then, at that point, we were going to pay for 3.7 mils of that bond from other resources. So we made a commitment to supplement the bond fund with other resources by 3.7 mils. And what you're saying,
we don't even have 3.7 mils in the bond. We only collect about 3.1 out of the bond, out of the PI, I mean. We only collect 3.1 mils.
Right. But there's other resources. So the other resources was the TIF dollars, I think was one of the other resources.
That would have been the only other resource.
And then they make whole...
That's part of the bond money.
Right, but I mean that was one, I think, some of the resources they were referring to back then. So
well, that would have been part of their bond money that would have been coming in. That's why they did bonds.
Got it. So it's not coming out of PI anymore. But did we used to put that in there? No, we did not.
The make whole payment is why they went from being notes or COGS to bonds, because if they would have stayed as COGS, they would have never received that make whole payment.
Right.
Yeah, I think from the state. It was like $1.5 million in just whole harmless payments, I think is what that was.
And I guess my point on it is it certainly would make an easier decision, obviously, to have a more detailed PI forecast, but also to see how those numbers, if you go back to what was promised, where those dollars are, so how much is, you know, when we talked about those other resources, 3.7 mils, and I think I asked this last time we talked about this, is to see that broken out.
Yeah,
so we know what those dollars are to make sure that we're honoring that commitment, or if we are actually legit, you know, really going to the community and saying, hey, I'll bail us out here, because...
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at when all that happened, but from that time until now, you know, I'm just kind of thinking about how, first we had almost a 20% decrease in the commercial industrial valuations, which I don't think anybody, you know, ever would have thought that. I mean, this year, from that last paper that we got, it was 19.6 and a decrease in those valuations. And then also the loss of TPP to the PI fund and the accelerated
50%.
Phasing out of that hold harmless. Sure. I mean, both of those things are pretty significant that I think the community would understand. We're not
Sure.
We're not trying to go back on our word.
Maybe it's just my nature. I like to see the details of that.
Yeah,
so we say that, but what
does
that mean? You know,
right.
I mean, how does that...
Right. Dollar figures.
Yeah,
that
or mills
equate
or whatever.
It to something.
Yeah.
Right.
So you can actually see how that all nets out.
Yeah. I mean, I think
the other thing that's
back
not
back
talked
back.
About,
yeah.
too, so the valuations went down, but also when these bonds were originally structured, they were structured with the assumption that we're going to have all this growth. And so I think the payments... The way they were structured, not in a traditional way, at least back then, where the payments would increase over time. So how much of the shortfall is based on that poor assumption?
Well, that's with the the refinancing. That's why we put it off to later years now.
Well, yeah, we kind of stuck with it because
and if you look at the permanent improvement levy information that I sent you, we've got $3.5 million in expenditures for this year. We could probably, with no, not even batting an eye, find another $3.5 million that we need to work on to get things fixed around this district with no problem. Just looking at different things. Windows at the board office. Heating at the board office. Things like that at every building. And I'm sure Mike could just rattle off a whole list of things that this 3.5 is minor compared to what we... Chris and I were talking about where's he at with the technology and the equipment for the technology of what he's gonna, what we're going to need for the park assessments for all those during the next 5 years. He's working on that for this coming year, on where we're at. And
not to mention we haven't bought classroom resources like textbooks. Last year I think was the first textbook we purchased in 12 years, I think. So we have not done, you know, adoption like we did last year, and we have the need.
I think having a detailed plan, you know, year to year, I think is absolutely a valid thing to have, a question and concern to have. I guess my issue, my question would be, if we wait another year, even if we do nothing, we're out a year before we can do anything. You know, if we say, okay, it's a half a mil, with the understanding that next year we're going to have a detailed plan, and we can kind of work around with that as a little bit. I don't want to get too far behind. You know, we're so far down the road that we can't get that. We either have to have this huge jump, or you know, now we have five buses we got to replace at once because. You know, we ran the tires right off, and
that's a huge safety.
I guess my only thinking on it is just that, you know, none of us here can break down the numbers to say, you know, where's this coming from, and we can talk in generalities about where it's coming from. And then we made a commitment back then, but then also when we were doing the levy campaign in 12, we put a projection out of asking for one mil more or increasing one mil more here in 15, you know, and we're in 13 now considering doing it. I just, you know, without having all the details in front of us, we have, you know, I guess that's my only concern with that.
And one thing I would suggest, and I think we've talked about it at different times, is have a board committee, possibly two. Certainly some of you won't be here, so it'll be two other people. And the treasurer and Mike and myself meet with a list similar to that and project monitor. It's kind of what I'm used to. It doesn't have to be monthly, but a couple times a year to lay out what's going on, create the detailed list. You know, right now, to be honest, it's been about what's a priority.
Sure, and I want to make sure it's clear. I don't doubt for a second that the things that Mike's asking for, that we actually need those things.
Right.
So it's, again, and I don't doubt that these things actually, like the loss in values and the TPP that we lost, those things obviously have an impact. It's just when you make a decision, I hate it to be kind of a... Well, you know, it would help. So let's make an arbitrary increase. It's like when we go back to when we raise pay-to-play fees. It's just, that would have been nice to see, well, what would that, you know, why are we doing this rather than just let's arbitrarily raise them $50. And I think those are the things.
I think working through something like that, then I think at this point what we've traditionally asked Mike to do is come up with what has to be done. And it's kind of sad if you sit down and say, you know, a dream a little bit, and the dream is to replace a roof that's need to replace 10 years ago, you know, but that's kind of what we're talking about. But that's where we need to get, I agree with you wholeheartedly, so that it is clear, you know, that these are the projects that are going to, that would be helpful to Mike and Jeff,
right.
100%, so that they could do some project planning as well.
Jeff Morgan, sorry.
Well, to kind of piggyback on to what Doug was saying, and then again, Sue, the community would probably understand, but I think that's kind of to the point. The community was made a promise when this campaign was going on that you will only have to pay this, the district's going to pick up the rest of it. So I think what needs to happen is that some of this detail with the message needs to go out to the community so that they do understand. And you know, we don't have a lot of community members who come to the meetings, and I don't really know how many listen to them. And so there's no other way that they would know except when they get their tax bill and their taxes have increased and they're wondering what the heck is going on. And so I think that meetings should be held, you know, town hall, at the different buildings, whatever, to let the community know what is going on as opposed to, you know, just doing it, and then it's like, well, what the heck is this for?
And that's what we said we'd do last time, actually.
You know, none of this has...
Okay, I heard a commitment from every board member.
I know, but then
time.
We came out 3 months later and said we were okay until 15, though. Yeah. That was the problem.
Right. Yeah. So I think the district would be better served with getting this message out first, to let people know what is going on so that they can ask questions and be supportive of it, as opposed to just blindly doing it without, not blindly to us, but with the community knowing absolutely nothing. Because as we know, the community has long memories, and they will remember that promise was made. Yes, circumstances have changed, but I think that needs to be part of the message. You know, these are the reasons why, and this is what we need to do with the details.
So what are we thinking in terms of an increase, I guess?
Half a mil. I was thinking half a mil because I think it's in my opinion, I think it's fair to say this list doesn't come anywhere near representing. I mean, all you have to do is walk around the district and look and know that list does not represent everything that needs to be done here.
Right.
So my thought would be that a half a mil would be a stopgap, at least at this point, until there's at least a more detailed plan and active active process going constantly going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it involves the you know,
that team
the team and back to the board would be my thought.
And you're also talking safety issues here.
Exactly,
we've got 14 buses.
Right.
Now, I don't want to put kids on buses that.
They're going to break down.
And I'll be absolutely honest. The promise that was made to this community, I think it's our responsibility to do our best to honor that promise. But there's no way when that promise was made 10 years ago that you know.
Well, they were expecting growth.
Right. Again, you know, if you say what you want about it, I mean, there's no one had a crystal ball. So mm-hmm. I don't think it's. I think we should do the best we can to honor that. But I don't think we should sink our ship in order to fulfill that promise.
And I will say this, you know, when I sat down in High Point and they had a little more detailed plan, and they talked about the roof and how amazing, every time they looked at the roof and at High Point says, you know, I can't remember how many years it's been out there, but it's an amazing shape. And he's and Robert out there made a very point, is that doesn't happen by accident. That happens because we take care of it, you know, we do the
routine maintenance.
So I, without a question, understand the need. And as much as I'd love to see the, you know, details behind it, I trust that, you know, if everybody here at the table is saying a half a mil is needed, I trust that, you know, that won't, it's just not going to be blown. It's not going to be squandered.
No, I mean,
I can support a half a mil. I'd rather have the detail to support it.
Well, here's what I like to say is I'd like to do the half mil, but to Tracy's point, I think, you know, that needs to be part of our message and kind of, you know what I mean? And as when our next newsletter goes out or whatever that is to our community, that is definitely part of that message. Look, this is why we did this.
It's already in our next newsletter.
Okay, well, I'll see.
Waiting.
Okay.
And so, I would really like the commitment, I'm not going to be on the board, but the new board, to actually get down into the details, whether it's, you know, it's not, it's embarrassing or whatever the case is, mm-hmm. what's the real picture of what happened and why we're in the position we're in and what are the numbers that are associated with that? You know, right. I think it would make decisions by this board a lot easier if we had those details. And I know they're not easy to get to. I mean, up until last year, we couldn't even sort out our bonds, I think, or 2 years ago.
Right.
So how much would a half a mil be on $100,000?
$35, is that right?
On $100,000?
Yeah. Isn't that what you generally use?
Yes.
It's our money.
Is it 20?
$17.50.
Yeah. I don't think any community member would have.
No, but I think it is so stinking important to get the message out and not, you get your tax bill. By the way.
And it's important to get the message out that they may have to move, you know, the board may have to move again.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, you're going to have to move again.
It's uncomfortable to agree with an increase and not have the details to say, here's why. I mean, we have stuff that says why, but I mean,
But I have nothing.
It's going to take work to get those. And we've been busy, so I get that.
Okay. And I think that going out in the next newsletter is going to be way before they get the tax bills.
I don't know when's the next newsletter going.
It won't go out until January or February.
It's February. Mm-hmm. It's when it works later.
It'll be close.
It'll be real close to that.
Probably be timely.
That's right.
By the way. By one mil.
Here's your newsletter.
County auditor, and I did not get a single.
I was going to say.
Nobody asked us about that extra one mil on it at all. Mm-hmm. We got no one.
I think it's the right thing to do.
There had been some rumblings I heard throughout the community with our last levy, the one that we just had, the one that just passed, about what happened that our taxes had gone up.
I did get one email right after that asking why, and I explained the whole thing.
So they noticed it maybe later, but weren't sure why.
Well, and some people may go up and some may go down this time because of the revalue. Yeah, right. So it's going to depend.
Yeah, I guess you're really going to have to figure it out, right? Yeah, you won't know.
Well, I guess my point is if somebody goes up way and they think that...
Yeah. Right.
Oh, yeah.
The headline was we raised taxes a half a mil and...
Right.
Yeah, well, now they're...
Get blamed for the whole...
Yeah, it's not going to be the whole thing. I mean, there's going to be changes. People are going to say, well, mine went up. You said it wasn't going to go up, but it wasn't because of that.
I'm just saying Todd might get a few phone calls.
Yeah.
He said he likes phone calls, so...
Just have his daughter answer.
Yeah, right. All right, are we good on the TIFs? On the bonds?
Yes.
What else did you have, Cindy? Okay.
Thank you.
Next up, we have the High Point Report.
Let's see. We had another student of the month from Marysville. Always proud of the moment, and parents are always proud, and it's always cool to hear the students talk about their experience at High Point. We also honored Ann Reams, our board president out there, for 25 years of service. I think she's honored at Capitol.
Wow.
Imagine.
No.
Wow.
And she sits on two boards. I mean, she's on the High Point board and her Bell Fountain board, too. The big topic for discussion was the new requirements by the state for board members out there, and that handout I sent is kind of an application, and I would think that we should probably reach out to the chamber, and because quite frankly I didn't think I meet those qualifications.
Really?
I mean, we could probably fill it out so that it meets the requirements, but I don't think it's really the spirit of what they're after there. They're looking for CEO, CFO, or HR person, or somebody who has their pulse on what the
what the workforce needs are.
Workforce needs are in Union County. I don't do business. I mean, I live here in Union County, but most of my business is out of state. I don't hire. So, I would love to.
I know, that's wow.
Yeah.
I'll be curious to see how that works out. I mean, that's going to be a tough sell to get. Quite honestly,
it is.
If you're a CEO, you're usually pretty busy.
I think it boils down to you don't have to do that, but then you have to explain why and what you do that gives you a feel of what the workforce needs are in Union County. So I think somebody from the chamber probably, there's probably people in the chamber that probably have those.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of turnover there ends up being.
Yeah.
You know, for the new year, how many members have those qualifications and are willing to
what it is, so the way they structure the board is half rotate off every year. So half the board members are staying, regardless of the law. Okay.
All right.
So it's not going to be a complete flipped board over there. So that's a good thing. You know, the sequence of events, though, is that this board would have to appoint whoever it is before the High Point board meeting. The High Point organizational meeting is on the 15th of January.
Okay.
So we would have to find somebody and have them appointed.
When's our meeting? The 9th?
The 6th? Or the 6th.
The 6th?
I would say,
Nice. So that's going to be a challenge.
Yeah. Now, I think if that didn't happen, you know, obviously that person couldn't be on that board. You have to wait until this board acted on it before they can be sworn in at the High Point board. But I think in the past that's kind of happened just because people's organizational meetings had lined up, so they do it in February. As long as they have enough people to...
They have a quorum, right? They're good, they're good to go.
So,
okay.
Their meeting is on the 15th, which is the last day by state law that any board can organize, I think. Your organization has to be by the 15th. So they do it last, so all the other boards can act first. Other dates, they're having their all-boards banquet, and you're talking about prime rib.
Yes.
On February 5th, so you guys will be invited as well, but they have all the boards from all the member districts, 14 different member districts, all kind of meet at High Point. The culinary students make a dinner. And
it's good eats, I can tell you that.
It's very nice, yep. February 5th.
February 5th, yep, at 6 p.m. And they usually do a tour around.
They had a great speaker from Columbus 2020 last year.
Yeah.
So that was very good.
Yeah.
So.
And it was nice to listen. They had some student ambassadors that were
really impressive
in the classrooms.
Yeah, it's definitely worth going out there. And I think that's it. That's all I have.
Thank you. Legislative report.
No, I already told you I didn't have a
legislative report. I will point out, Sue was nice enough to point out to me, Senate Bill 229 for the OTES would be one to keep your, you know, if you're in education, be one to keep your eye on. They revisiting some of the requirements for the OTES, talking about the percentage, you know, what's 50-50, you know, now they want to drop it down to 35-65. Apparently math is not on there. And just kind of the requirements for, you know, if you're accomplished, you would be evaluated once every 3 years instead of once every other year. If you're skilled, it would move you to once every other year for your evaluation.
So 35-65, what gets the 35?
If you teach a value-added class, you know, that's then your evaluation is based on, your student growth numbers are based on those numbers. For your evaluation. No, it's 50-50. 50% value added, 50%, you know.
But when you do 35-65, which?
35 for value added.
Okay,
they drop that down. There's something else in there that I thought was important. So, but we'll want to keep your eye on anyway. So it'll be interesting to see. So, especially after we put a whole year in of doing. They're doing everybody's, you know. Now figure out how to map all that out for your administrator.
Some and a whole year to do everybody, and then to backtrack would be interesting. But.
Well, it gives you a baseline for everybody, though, right? You still would have had to do it.
Sure.
So, anyways, not that's my legislative report, but I just thought I would add.
Thanks.
I would add that in.
I knew you were dueling. I would have took better notes yesterday. Warren always gives a good one. Sorry. So do you.
Okay. So, did you want to add anything to that, Diane? Did you have any other knowledge about that? Okay. And Sue would like to give us an update on the Capitol Conference.
Yes, that was held on Monday, November. Well, it was actually held over several days, but I attended on Monday, November 11th, and Dick Smith and Ed Pleasant were also there. So we focused on we sat down and talked a little bit about what we thought was important to go to some of those sessions, and so we focused on board development and community relations. So I know Dick attended a board development that was titled Solving 10 Tough Board Challenges, and I know he came out of that. One important comment was just the importance to focus on student achievement for all, that we just need to keep our eyes on that, and that's our goal, and so all of our decisions have to be based on that. And then Ed and I attended the community relations that was about communicating the Common Core standards. It was very interesting, and I did bring a lot of stuff with me that was handed out by Bay Village Schools. They had quite an amazing newsletter, and they talked about how they have communicated the Common Core standards to their community, and really talked about how there's been some pushback on the Common Core, but they said that the government controls the standards, but the local community controls the curriculum, and that's what you need to remember in this. So I just thought it was an excellent presentation, and they also talked about the with the grade cards, how the grade cards, a lot of people are going to get lower grades, and how important it is.
District
grade cards, and how it's important to try and communicate that change. That their message was really the importance of communicating to all of our stakeholders. So, again, I've got some of this stuff here, and if anybody wants to borrow it, take a look at it.
And that newsletter is amazing. I read it online.
It is.
Led for a lot of work into that.
They sure did. Then they had a really nice general session with Will Haygood, who wrote a 2008 front page story about the White House butler, Eugene Allen, who was the inspiration for the movie The Butler. That was a very nice general session. And then I attended the annual business meeting where all of the proposed amendments were ratified by the delegates. And there was a lot of interesting discussion. Had some great speakers. Charlie Wilson is always fun to listen to. David Yost, our state auditor, spoke. Dr. Richard Ross was there, introduced the Teacher of the Year. And Richard Lewis, the OSBA executive director, spoke. And he does a nice job, too. Makes you proud to be a part of public education when you're sitting there listening to them speak. Then in the afternoon, Dick and Ed, while I was at the annual business meeting, they attended a community forums and education reform where they talked about, there was a Southeast Ohio Teacher Development Collaborative that was talking about hosting forums in your community. They focus on post-secondary institutions working together to place students where their interests match that school's strengths. I hope I explained that the right way. But really just giving you the idea of a collaborative work between different educational resources. So I think they enjoyed that. And then I saw Brian Luke, and he attended on Tuesday, and he went to a safety and wellness session titled Pistol Packins School Professionals. Said there was lots of good conversation, discussion, and a variety of opinions shared.
Then
he went to a board development, making sense of finance for board members. Thought it was a really good overview, and it just showed him how the value of a good treasure for a district. So I think we all agreed that it would be great if our facilities and technology people and other administrators and staff had an opportunity to attend. It's a busy time of year, but there's just a lot of good information there, and if you want more information, all of the handouts from every session are available at the Ohio School Board's website.
They are.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't know if this is. I don't know if it's.
They can't
or
possibly
not.
Put that out monthly.
Yeah. It looks awfully.
I think that was actually specific.
They
did that specifically for Common Core.
They have this little game. Set up for the Common Core that explains all sorts of things. So it's very professional.
You said that's online then?
I think that is online, yeah. So
actually, I think if you go to
their website.
Well, not only theirs, but I think OSBA, it's part of the presentation material.
I think they're going to link some of that information.
It was really interesting. All right, thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
Sounded like a very informative couple days, as it always is.
It was.
Okay. Next up, public participation. Did we have any? We have no public participants? No one? All right. And we will move on. Holy cow. All right, hold on one sec. 11, 10. Actually,
Yeah.
I need a motion to approve the minutes from our meeting from October 28th, October 29th, October 30th, and November 11th. So can I have a motion?
October 17th.
Did I miss that? Oh, I'm sorry. And October 17th. Yes, thank you. So can I have a motion to approve all of those minutes, please?
I move that we approve all of those minutes.
Second.
Moved and second. Any discussion, changes? Okay, hearing none, can I get a roll call then, please?
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Reedy?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Blaster?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, I need a motion to approve the Treasurer CFO items. And within those is the half a mil increase for the bonds. That's part of the Treasurer items. So I need a motion to approve those, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Was there any, did you want to talk about any of your other items?
The changes in the amended certificate and the modifications are for the bond refinancing, and then decreasing so that at that point we needed to decrease our appropriations because we aren't going to use them. We might have to increase them later on if we find something that we need to purchase, but I think there's still plenty in there to make sure that everything goes okay. And then just increase that by 0.5.
So we'll go from 6.2 to
6.7.
Okay. All right.
I just think it's also worth making the point that had we not started supplementing our bond retirement fund with those other dollars, this wouldn't have been a conversation. It would just have been, this is how much we need to service our debt, and with the decreased valuations, it would have just moved up automatically.
I'm not even sure we would have had to do anything. I think Andrew would have done it before.
Well, that's because our collections.
Yeah. Right, because we're maxed out, so yeah. It's no longer our responsibility.
Yeah, so it's just.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, it's good that we did refinance at this point because it helps a lot.
Right.
Compared to what we're looking at.
Right. I agree.
And we know there's a possibility that we could refinance in.
There's a few left in 15, but not very many.
Yeah, and who knows what interest rates will do between now and then.
Yeah, between now and then. And, we were thinking about doing it in June.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they spiked, and we couldn't do it at that point. So we got it back down to where it was feasible to do it. So.
Supposedly the market was really excited because of the new Fed chairman, chairwoman, I guess, whatever you call it.
Chairperson.
Yeah, chairperson, sorry.
Yeah.
she put something out saying that interest rates should stay low. So
good. That's always
when the market hit 16, right?
Yeah.
They react to it.
All right. Were there any other questions or comments? Hearing none, then can I get a roll call, please?
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Raby.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, I need a motion to approve 12-1, 12-2, and 12-3 being the HR action items from the superintendent, the approval of volunteers for the 13-14 school year, and the other superintendent action items. Can I have a motion to approve all of it?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Ms. Mankins.
HR items, just want to recognize we have some people leaving the organization. Certainly Andy James, mechanic, has been here quite a while, and wish him well in his future endeavors. Anthony Gibbon as well, moving on, certainly has done a fantastic job for us at the middle school, and Kim Andrews is retiring as well. So just want to certainly thank them for their service. Let's see, there was something else I was going to point out.
Talk about the sub rates, please.
Talk about the what?
Substitution rates.
It's rate.
Part of the HR item.
Oh, for the SAC program? Is that where you're at?
Yeah.
Oh, guaranteed bus driver. So we've had some issues. Sorry, I had to get there.
That's all right.
Guaranteed bus drivers. We had, prior to my arrival,
Still here?
No.
Someone that was, you could probably speak better, on call to be to come in at the bus garage, and they made a differential, correct?
Right.
And we are suggesting that that be increased. You know, I have my monthly meetings with the bus drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, we are having a hard time finding bus drivers. That seems to be a central Ohio problem. The idea is really... what we're hearing is since Columbus started their own transportation, it's kind of absorbed everyone's sub. So we've increased that, and also when the OBIs are, isn't that that one, are doing their training, they would make a higher wage during that, their regular hourly rate.
And that's been kind of an issue down there as well, yes, correct?
It has. It has. So it's trying to, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay. The other thing I was going to talk about is transportation, yeah, but the transportation increase, since we were in negotiations with transportation at the time that everyone else received their increase, we were unable to do that. Since that process has stopped, this actually just makes good on the same increases that the rest of the organization received earlier in the year. That's
what and it's retroactive.
I was about to say, is that retroactive?
It is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And that's what we used to do before there was...
Right, mm-hmm. Right. So it's reflective of right. Our, yes. Common, right. Our common practice. And word. Since the union situation did not go through, that's why we couldn't do it at the time, because okay. We were
yeah.
In negotiations.
I apologize. I remember you saying that they were dropped by just, for some reason in my head, I didn't think that meant that the union was gone. I just thought yeah. That meant yeah. They didn't have anybody representing them.
No, in essence, through the process, and we received that official notice that would not take place. So,
cool.
Okay.
That's what I was looking for when you were talking about. So, I'm sorry, I knew there was something under there. So, volunteers, again, if you look at the list from Edgewood at this point in the year, it's always amazing to me the number of volunteers we continue to accumulate over the school year.
Absolutely.
And the policies we looked at last time, revised mm-hmm. policies, it's just the second time they've been on.
And really the majority of those are required by changes in legislation.
Yes, different updates. We also have approval for Marysville Library Board member, Rhonda Thompson, mm-hmm. On there as well.
And speaking of volunteers, I was also looking at the volunteer coach list, and it's nice to see there's a lot of good old monarchs on that list that are coming back to help
back?
As volunteers, yeah, which I think is nice. You know, you get.
It's just always amazing to me since I've been here how that list just continues. Because mm-hmm. normally you'd think it's plateau at some point
right.
In the year, but it continues to grow. I think I said that before.
Okay. Are there any other comments or questions on the superintendent items? Okay, hearing none, then can I get a roll call, please?
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, we're just going to wrap it up then. Any final comments or questions? Mrs. Powers?
Just happy to be a part of everything and glad we got everything situated to go into next year, and just really excited. And also the new program that the safety issue that Diane has gotten together, that we're one of 15?
Right, we'll be one of 15 school districts in the state of Ohio participating in a drug education and prevention group with the state. It's being... I guess headed up by Governor Kasich, earmarked for students who are abusing prescription drugs, which highly aligns to lots of the conversations we've been having in different mm-hmm. groups since I've come here. So it'll be a series of events. It's a pilot program. I just received a phone call this week to commit to do that, so I don't have too many details yet to share, but we're excited to take part in that.
So that's going to be kind of our kickoff. Even though we've had
right.
a few meetings, that's going to be the...
I think it provides a little substance
right.
for our group, so to rally behind.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
So we're excited about that.
Okay. Mr. Lassiter.
I just want to congratulate Dick and Ed and Brian, who's not here.
He's listening, though, I'm sure.
Yeah. I just I think we got great board members elected to the board, and I think I have all the confidence in the world you guys will be able to continue the good things that are happening here. So, I mean, it's going to be quite a switch on this board. I mean, it's only going to be three of you guys here.
That's that the majority of the people at this table are going to be gone in January.
It's going to be exactly four new people. So.
All right.
So, with the treasurer,
Run!
All right, Ms. Greer.
Well,
no, I'm sorry.
I should have said this when we were talking about Todd, but you know, thank DSC for all their assistance in that process.
I saw Bill here.
Hey, Bill's here, and then he left.
Yeah. I know he snuck out.
I think once again
they did a great job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So. Is it okay if I talk?
Miss Greer.
Yes. I missed that and I'd be remiss. Welcome aboard, gentlemen.
Okay.
All right. Congratulations. Dick and Ed. I've already told Brian I saw him Sunday. And it was nice that you guys got to participate in at least a portion of the treasurer interview. So that should be great.
And, you know, that was another thing. I mean, it was nice that they were there and that, you know, there was buy-in from the board members.
I agree. I agree. I think it was important to have that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And next time we'll let them ask questions.
Ms. Devine.
Welcome, guys. And Brian, not here. Although I'm going to miss Jeff's experience greatly. But I'm excited about the new board members. It's great to hear all the wonderful things that are happening in the district. It's always, I mean, it's just nonstop, that list. I had the joy of visiting four elementary schools this week, so my days off were pretty full. But one thing that really stuck out was that people talked about the changes in safety in the buildings and how well they have been received and just how good they feel about how they've got those safety mm-hmm. things set up. So that was great to hear. And then it's just exciting to see just all the things going on in the buildings and their focus on student achievement. So that was great.
Yeah, I'd agree. It's nice you can walk into a classroom. I don't care, K to, you know, if you're in the K to 12, you walk in and say, what are you learning today? And I have yet to find a kid that couldn't tell me what they were doing. So I think that's, anyway. Ms. Mankins.
I had the opportunity this week to visit Navin when they were doing their Native American Museum.
Oh, so neat.
Great application of learning there, and students were so excited. They were just bubbling with information, so lots of fun, and they did an amazing job with that. So good things happening. Certainly anxious for the straight A fund. I encourage everyone to keep your fingers crossed.
Keep hitting that refresh button on the 12th, right?
Yeah.
Also,
17th.
Senator Burke is going to be visiting our SAC program. I don't remember the date, but shortly, so I'll get you that date to kind of see some of the things that they are doing as well. I'm reminded as I've only been here a year and a half. Sometimes it feels like a little bit longer. But I'm just reminded of the phrase that the only thing constant in life is change. And certainly three of you leaving the board who welcomed me here, tough to see you transition out. And I promised I wouldn't cry, so I won't. But wish you all the best, and thanks for what you've done for our kids. Certainly you've been around to help make some difficult changes and ask some difficult questions, and sometimes haven't been the most popular people in the world, but you've held your chin up high and pushed forward for the betterment of our students, and I appreciate that as the new leader here. New guys, welcome. It's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun together.
We spent a lot.
Your seat.
That's
we're going
right.
to be moving second semester, so I'm excited about what we have on the horizon.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Jenny?
I was met with a group of students at Bunsfield Middle School this past week on the BASE program, and they are going to start a bicycle fix-it shop. So,
really?
So,
oh,
yeah.
That's
so they're
great.
Looking for if anybody has any bikes that they'd like to have fixed up.
Yeah. Everybody does.
Or give away. They'll fix them up and give. They're going to give them away to the kids through the Hope Center.
Oh,
Excellent. Or they'll fix them up. If you want yours fixed up, they're going to work on that. So it was great to meet with those kids and do that kind of.
Is it like a business plan? So they will charge for the work?
They will charge. They can't charge any profit.
Right.
But they can charge for the parts, and then they can ask for a donation. And that donation, then they will have at the end of the year, they can do a little party or however they want to do it.
Well, so who's leading that?
Bunzel, the 7th and 8th graders. Yeah. And they were all 7th graders. It's through the BASE program, that 21st century grant program that they got. So it's through that grant.
Boy, those folks do incredible.
And then, right, so all the STEM pieces that work.
Yes.
So they're looking at that and how can we
So can we just call over there to see where we deliver these bikes?
Absolutely. Talk to Zach Welch.
Zach Welch, he's your guy.
So we've got that all set up for him this
week. Else too. I'm sorry. I forgot. I wanted to.
I'm going to get to me at some point.
Be excited about Todd coming in, and also thank Cindy for her work. And I hope, and I know she's pretty excited about some vacation time coming up.
Yeah.
So.
Good for you. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Then I'll close it out. We have to do Diane's evaluation next meeting, so I'm going to give you the option. Do you want to do it at 6, or do you want to do it at the end of the meeting?
I'd like to do it at 6.
I'd like to do it at the end. It's just hard to get here by 6. That's all.
Is it possible you can be here by 6?
It depends if it's a demolition derby day or if there happens to be any precipitation in the air. It's possible.
Can we schedule
it? Can we start our meeting at 7:30 instead of 7?
I don't think so, because we've already published.
Right.
So.
Okay.
So is it possible we could do it at 6? And if you had to be 5 or 10 minutes later, it's not that.
Or an hour. Yes.
Or an hour.
You never know.
Doug, are you okay with 6?
I know what you're coming
to.
All right, then let's schedule an executive session from 6 to 7, and then our regular meeting that starts at 7, if you could please note that. For Donna at our... thank you. And then really, I'll just say, I got to be honest, it's going to be pretty exciting for you guys next year. There's a lot of cool things happening in this district. We'll have the opportunity to watch from the outside, but we'll be watching anyways, nonetheless. I'm sure my phone will ring just a little bit less now, but probably not all the way off, so then that's okay too.
Don't bet on it.
Yeah, that's, I didn't say not all the way, but that's okay, you know. Good meeting nonetheless. So,
hour and 40 minutes, record time.
I know.
All right.
Yeah. They tell me this is how it's supposed to be done, but I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. So, all right. If there's nothing else, then I need a motion to adjourn then, please.
So moved. Second?
Got it. Moved and second. Can I get a roll call, please?
Mrs. Bowers. Yes. Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes. We are adjourned at 8:38. Thank you all for coming.